my wife and I just moved here 2 years ago, and we have spent the entire part of our adult life right next to one beach or another. So we have lived in a coastal area all of our adult life, or in Central Florida. And so for us coming here, even though I was raised in Tennessee, coming here, we begin to experience a full calendar of season change. And the thing that we've probably enjoyed the most about coming here is it seems like in Central Alabama, you have just the right amount of each season. You know, in Florida and the coast of Mississippi, we had four seasons. We had winter, we had early summer, we had middle summer, and we had late summer. And we had about 9 months of summer and a little bit of winter and some rain, and that was it. But here we have been so refreshed by the cycles of season change. We've had cold winters, I mean, for us, especially coming from the beach. We've about froze to death. We had to buy clothes we didn't know we needed, earmuffs and all kind of stuff. And the kids play out. We've had several snows since we've been here. Unprecedented number of snows in the last couple of years, a few frost. And then the spring here is very cool and refreshing, and everything starts to grow. And then the summer is, you know, like being just north of hell. It's humid and it's blazing hot, and it makes you want to swim. So there's a lot of good things to do outside to cool off. And my favorite, the first fall we lived here, I thought I was going to die. I'd call my wife on the cell phone. We just had trees that were there. They didn't do anything, you know, barely any shade. But this full pastel color of brilliant colors set along the hills of Alabama. I'd pull down the road by our house and I'd call and say, "Have you seen the leaves today?" She thought I was crazy. "Have you seen the leaves today? I think they're a different color than they were yesterday. Gold and red and orange. Absolutely gorgeous." I have really enjoyed the season changes. And there's something about the changing of the seasons that God has set in nature, because they work together as natural cycles of renewal. One season gives way to another season, and one season is always preparing the earth for the next season. I found that life is a lot like that. Whether you and I are aware of it or not, the season that we're in now is preparing us for the next season. It doesn't really matter that we're aware of it. It's happening. We are being prepared continually, and most of the time we only realize it when we look back and we say, oh, I see how I had to go there or do this before I did that. And after a while you start to think, you know, God knew all along, didn't He? God knew exactly what I needed. God knew where I needed to be. God knew what needed to happen. And one season prepares us for the next. This whole concept to me is so so mysterious, and it's so beautiful, and it's really undetectable until you've had a few seasons pass in your life. And only as you've changed seasons in your life a few times do you begin to look back and even realize what's been happening. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in your life and mine that is changing us into the image of Christ season by season. He's working alongside us. The word most often used in the New Testament that we translate for time is the word kairos, the Greek word kairos. Let me tell you what the word kairos means. Oftentimes when you see the word time in the New Testament, the Greek word behind it's going to be the word kairos, which has a linear approach to time. It's, in other words, a fixed time with a beginning and an end. It's a set opportunity that comes and then it goes away. Oftentimes in Scripture, if you see the word time or season or opportunity, it will be translated from this Greek word kairos. In Acts chapter 1 verse 7, the Bible says when the disciples were coming to ask Jesus when the second coming of Christ was going to be, Jesus said, "It's not for you to know the times." That's not the word kairos, that's a different one. Or dates. The word dates comes straight from the word kairos. It's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set. Galatians 6:9, Paul says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, for at the proper kairos, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. In Ephesians 5:16, Paul tells us, making the most of every opportunity, making the most of every kairos, because the days are evil. There is a kairos opportunity. There is a kairos season. There is a divine appointment set in your life and mine. But we generally only find our way into it as we prepare for it. Preparation is the most important part of finding the kairos season, moment, or opportunity. If you don't prepare for it, you probably won't find it. Kairos has to do not with order, because who really knows the order of things other than God? Half my life has felt like it was moving out of order. But it has to do with readiness. Kairos has to do with readiness and with preparation. It has to do with making sure that all the circumstances are right first. Kairos is like the timing of the skilled archer who will pull his bow back and follow a flat line, zeroing in on a bird of prey, waiting for him to light on the limb of a tree. And just as the bird is still, and just as the wind is calm, he pulls a breath in and he holds it. And at just the right moment, he releases the arrow. That's a kairos moment. That's a kairos season. That's a kairos opportunity. Preparation comes before the archer can determine to do the right thing at the right time to take advantage of this moment that will not likely come again. That bird will not likely sit there forever, and he will likely not sit on that limb again. Preparation is what prepares us for that moment. This isn't the first time that this archer has pulled a bow back and shot an arrow at it. If it is, he's likely to not hit the bird. He's likely to not make his kairos moment. He has to prepare for it. He has to get ready for it. How do you prepare for your kairos season? How do you prepare for the set opportunity that God has put in front of your life? Well, God is always preparing you and I for kairos. He's always preparing us for a divine season, a divine opportunity, a divine moment. Sometimes we're aware that He's preparing us, and sometimes we're not aware. The more aware you are, the more prepared you're going to be, and the more effective your preparation's going to be, because you're going to partner with Him. But the most important part of finding that moment is preparation. Now, just before you think that I'm talking to only Master's Commission students or CBC or staff or anybody else, this is God's way of working in the human race. God is preparing you no matter what field or background you come from today. So this morning, if you're taking notes, grab a pen. I want to just give you two thoughts about preparing for your kairos season, your kairos moment, your kairos opportunity. Here it is, number one. Most of life is preparation for one or two really important seasons or opportunities. Most of life is preparation for one or two really important things, seasons, or opportunities. So my charge to you today is prepare well. Because you don't know and I don't know when the moment's going to come. We only know what the Holy Spirit, what the kind of preparation the Holy Spirit's drawing us into. Abraham was a 90-year-old father of a son of promise who had prepared his entire life for that parentage. Noah built one boat, and he prepared for his life for that. Samuel, the prophet, basically anointed a few kings. David King David, I know we hear about his exploits. I know we hear about the nations he conquered. But let me tell you my theory on King David's life. The way that he arrived at the kingdom was by far more important than anything he did while he was in it. He refused to put his hand on it until God put his hand on it. And God had been preparing David from the hillsides of shepherding sheep to receive the kingdom with integrity and to lead it. Jesus had 30 years of preparation and basically left behind 12 disciples and a sacrificial death. Moses, 40 years in the desert to lead one group of people from one country to another. If you prepare well, like the skilled archer, you will know when to release the arrow and your destiny will be fulfilled. Here's the first thought about preparing for your Kairos moment, for your Kairos season or opportunity. There's probably only going to be one or two of them. And most of the rest of your life is going to be preparing for those. So prepare really well. Here's the second one. The things you are learning at this season are the foundation for the next season. Prepare well. I have spent, this will just be a confessional, I have spent far too much of my time thinking, I don't know what it is that God's trying to teach me or what I did to make him mad. But if I can just learn it and get it over with, I can get out of this spot and I can move on. I need to hurry up and learn it so I can get on with the next thing and put this all behind me. Wrong. Only when I learn what this season has been teaching me am I truly prepared for the next season. It's not about what God is trying to get. God's not trying to get something through you. He's trying to get something in you. And as he gets it in you, and only as he gets it in you, are you ready for the next season. What I learn in this season of preparation, I will stand up on top of in the next season, and I will stand high enough to overcome the next season if I stand on it. I remember when my wife and I were, we really had our heart set on planting a church and had begun to target metropolitan areas in the southeast. And we got a call from a church in Mississippi and interviewed. And it wasn't the type of arrangement that we foresaw ourselves being interested in at all. But as time would have it, we interviewed. We ended up taking the role there as assistant pastor. Then we transitioned into lead pastor. And as we were moving into that area between that gap, when we were still in Florida, but not there yet, we visited one Sunday in between, and we just weren't quite ready to commit, and we were very anxious, stressed about, is this the right thing? Should we do this? Should we not do this? Are we going to the right place? And I can remember as we left Mississippi, went back to Florida, the Lord gave us one verse, 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. And that verse guided us for a week or 2 weeks, whatever the time was. And then we went back to visit one Sunday before we moved. And there was one scripture verse inside the bulletin. Can you guess what it was? Somebody had been peeking in our windows. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. I looked at that and I thought, thank God, that's the confirmation that we needed from God to know that we're going to the right place. I thought when I heard that verse and I saw it, God is telling us to come here. Can I just tell you something? I don't know what God was saying, but I know one thing he was saying. I think he was telling us to go there. I'm not sure that's what he was saying in that verse. What he was telling us in that verse was, not only are you supposed to be here, but I'm going to tell you the kind of help you're going to need while you're here. That's harder to hear, isn't it? I didn't get any reaction from that. God was telling us what it would be like. Very anxiety-filled. I was a 29-year-old youth pastor transitioning into the seat of a 69-year-old senior pastor. Our church went through major turmoil. Two board members led a coup attempt to rail us out of town. Thank you. I'm still filled with anxiety. We were voted on three times. In the wake of all that chaos and divisiveness, 100 people slowly drained out of the church over 2 years. A year after that, Hurricane Katrina struck. A 36-foot wave drove on our shoreline, 3 blocks from our house and 2 miles from our facility. Overnight, we lost a third of our congregation. And as we rebuilt across the next 2 years, we lost another third of our congregation. In 6 years, we had turned over every board member on our board twice. One board member was having an affair and cheating on his wife. Another board member divorced his wife and married our church secretary. In the middle of that, our youngest son was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, and at 4 years old, he began 4 insulin shots a day and 8 blood sugar checks along with a regimented diet and schedule. We thought that scripture was confirmation that God was calling us to that city. What we now know is that what cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you wasn't just our call to that city. It was the kind of description of help that God was going to give us in that season of preparation. And, listen to this, more importantly, it was a description of what God was doing in us. God wanted to put some things in us that needed to be put in us. And my wife and I said oftentimes through those years, we believe that God could have maybe done something more through us somewhere else, but He couldn't have done nearly as much inside of us. And He did a lot of things inside of us. And let me tell you one of the things He did inside of us. That little verse became a summary of the work that God did in our life. Number one, we learned that God can be trusted. Cast all your anxiety on Him. God can be trusted with everything. We needed that put inside of us from our backgrounds and our history, from our own life. God needed to put that in our soul and our bones. The other thing that God put in us is this, is that He loves us unconditionally. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. And so the message that I received in the storm of my life, I stand and proclaim to you with confidence today that God loves you unconditionally. I proclaim it with confidence because I know it to be true because I've experienced it. God loves you with no condition. You don't have to meet a requirement. You don't have to meet a condition. You don't have to get better. You don't have to clean yourself up. You don't even have to do everything right. God loves you unconditionally. There's no condition that'll ever change that'll make Him not love you anymore. Because it's who He is. God, 1 John says, is love. And God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. What God teaches you at one season is not just information to get you out of that season and into the next one. It is the very foundation that the next season will function on. So prepare well. The things you learn in a season of insignificance will support, listen to me, will support the weight of the Kairos season and the Kairos opportunity later on. Zechariah chapter 4 verse 10 in the New Living Translation says, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." You don't have to know you're in a season of preparation to be in one. You only have to follow the Holy Spirit. David learned to shepherd sheep before he learned to shepherd people. Joseph learned integrity in prison by being rejected and lied about before he ever managed Pharaoh's house in integrity. Moses learned 40 years of patience in the desert before he patiently led 1 million people out of bondage and into the promised land. Jesus, Hebrews said, learned obedience through the things that he suffered before he obeyed himself to death. I spent the first year out of high school. I remember when I was 17, I knew I was called to ministry. I was trying to figure out what to do. And I can remember feeling like I had the direction that I should go. I should go off to Southeastern and prepare. And it just seemed like the right direction for my life. And as I was preparing and I got close to graduation, I came from a lower middle income family, and we all did the best we could, and I couldn't get the federal aid that I needed. I didn't qualify for a scholarship of any kind. And my parents couldn't afford it. And as we came to the end of the summer, after my first year out of high school, it became very clear to me that I'm not going to be able to go now. And it was one of the most heartbreaking moments of my life, because I had told everybody, expectations were high, I had worked hard in our local church, learning everything I could learn, and it was time to go. And I sat there that fall while other of my friends went off and did what they did, and I just worked more. And it was really a hard time for me. But I can tell you today that I would not trade that year for any single year of my life. Because I was in a season of preparation that I didn't know I was in. Let me tell you what happened. I worked for Baptist Memorial Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee, the largest privately owned hospital in the world at the time. 32 miles of hallways, and I walked through that hospital all 32 miles, underground, across the road, up to the 19th floor, to the west end, to the east end. I walked all over it, and my job was to take patients from their room to the treatment area back. And as I was trapped in that little hospital, working that job, walking with patients, trying to figure out, what on earth am I doing here? I can't spend another week working a job just to make a check, just to save it, just to get on with my life. I'm ready to get on with my life. And I can remember as that year went on, the Lord began to deal with me. And I want to tell you what I learned. For a person who had not spent much time in a hospital and couldn't stand the sight of them, I learned compassion as I would wheel people from one area to another who had cancer, who had mental illness, who had heart disease. I would transport them, and one day they would be up and laughing. I'd get the same patient a few months later, and they'd be stretched out on a ventilator on a bed and hardly knew I was there. And as I would roll those little hallways of that hospital, I started the last 8 or 9 months I was there, I just said, Lord, I don't know why you got me here, but I'm just going to pray. And I started to pray for every patient as I'd move them down the hall and say, Lord, I pray you'd bless this one. Lord, I pray you'd heal them. Lord, I pray you'd help them. Can I tell you something? God is always preparing you for something else. I learned to pray for people who were sick, and I learned compassion. And I learned it in that hospital. And then I transferred to another part of the hospital where I drove a shuttle bus in a big old parking lot out on Walnut Grove in East Memphis where the new hospital was. And I just drove. And as I drove, I thought, Lord, what have you got me in here for? I'd never get to pick the people up on time, and they'd complain, and I'd miss their stop, and traffic was crazy. That just wasn't my kind of deal. But as I sat in that little car, I thought, I wonder what I could do. And I found a radio station, 640 AM, that played the most effective pastors in America. And so for a year, I sat in there and I listened to some of the best preachers in the nation. I listened to Focus on the Family every day, 8 hours a day. Focus on the Family, and Chuck Smith, and John MacArthur, and Chuck Swindoll, and Dr. Adrian Rogers, and Marlon Maddox on a talk radio show. And I listened to these great Christian orators for 8 hours a day for about a year. And I know you're thinking, I wish some of it would have worn off. But I listened to them anyway. And my mind was being tutored in communicating God's Word as I sat there, and people get in the car and they'd listen. They'd go, is that a preacher on the radio? And I'd say, yeah. Do you want to listen? And it opened up so many doors of conversation. And then part-time, I worked at Sears in the mall in the men's department. I sold men's clothes. And I had no idea why I was stuck there. And I was thinking the other day about the cast of unlikely people that I worked with. I worked with a guy named Yadish Mitaha. Yadish Mitaha was from India, and he was a full-blown Hindu. And he and I had so many conversations about God. And then I worked with Jeremy, who was a Mormon, who later resigned to give 2 years of his life to the Mormon church. And then there was Ken, who was basically a Memphis redneck, but he was there. And so he and I had some conversations. And then there was Chris, who was sort of a spoiled kid from the rich part of the city, who was just there to make spending money for himself. And I can look back at that group, and I can see that one of the things that God was teaching me was to share my faith in the marketplace. God was preparing me, and I didn't know it. But God knew it. And at the same time, I volunteered. Our church didn't have a youth pastor, so I filled in and youth pastored for about a year. I had no clue what I was doing. But there I learned ministry inside the church. And I just want to tell you something. God, whatever your age, whatever your stage, whatever your background, whatever your future, I want to assure you of something today. God has a divine design and destiny for your life, and the season that you are in, He is using to prepare you for Kairos. And so I want to encourage you today, prepare well. I'm going to ask our musicians to come, and I basically want to say this to you. I said all of that to say, I want you to be aware that you are in a season of preparation. I want you to leave with the thought today that I'm in a season of preparation now. I want to ask you this question. Do you know what God is preparing you for? You don't have to know all of it. Nobody knows all of it. Do you have a hint? Do you have a clue? Do you have a big idea? Do you have a general direction? Do you have a generic description? Do you know what the season of preparation that you're in now is about? Do you know what God is saying to you about this season? Our staff met for prayer as we do most weeks a few weeks ago, and I asked our staff this question: what does God want to do for you this season? From now till Christmas, the next 4 months, do you know what God wants to do in your life? Do you have any idea what He wants to do? And if you do, how will you cooperate with Him? How will you meet with Him in it? And so I just want to ask you that question this morning. What is God working on? You can't tell me nothing, because I just don't buy it. God, some of you are here and your kids are at home, and God is preparing you to be an empty nest couple. Some of you, your kids are little, and God's preparing you to be parents of teenagers. And some of you are a young couple without kids, and God's preparing you to have kids. And some of you are single, and God's preparing you for marriage. And that's just like a family timeline. But there's all kind of types and seasons of preparation for different things that are going on around you. This is the beginning. Could you feel this morning the wind blowing outside and the moisture dampening in the air and the humidity starting to drop? And you can feel, as I cut my yard yesterday, dead leaves were scattered all over. You know why? Because the season is starting to change. What season are you in? What's God doing now? Because the wind's blowing. It's picking up again. and the cool front's coming in, and the season's starting to change. And God is doing something in your life. Whatever frustration, whatever limitation, whatever challenges you're facing now, who knows, it might be part of your own preparation. What I want to encourage you to do this morning, let go of the fear, let go of the frustration, and step into a season of preparation for your Kairos opportunity, for your Kairos moment, for your Kairos season. That day will come when you will be bent back with the arrow in your hand, and you will have followed a line across your life, and the Holy Spirit will come up to you and whisper, "Now, let go now." And if you've prepared, you will release that arrow for one or two really great things in your life, and your destiny will be fulfilled. And it will be like the days of King David, where the book of Acts says that David served God in his generation, and then he fell asleep. And that was it. That's sort of what life is. It's mostly getting ready. And by the way, all of life is preparation for eternity. Would you stand with me this morning? I'm going to ask our prayer team to come. With every eye closed and every head bowed, I want to say to you this morning, if you're a businessman or a coach or a teacher or a housewife, or you work in retail, or you're a grandmother, or you're an empty nest person, I want to ask you this question. What is the next 6 to 12 months of your life about? What is this year about? What is this 2 or 3 year season about? What is God preparing you for now? With every eye closed and no one looking around in the room, if you say this morning, "I believe I know in general," I don't think anybody knows specific, but in general, I believe I know what God is preparing me for. I believe I know He's laid it on my heart. I believe I know what He's preparing me for. Would you lift your hand this morning and say, "That's me. I believe I know what it is." Good. Good. In the balcony, the back, good. 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 Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. I want to encourage you, lifted your hand. Cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Cooperate with God in this season. He is preparing you. He has spoken, and He will bring it to pass. Now, if you're here today and you say, "I'm not sure what this season of preparation is about," forget the next season. Forget the Kairos. I'm not sure how God's trying to prepare me now. I'm not sure what He's trying to put in me. But I felt stirred today, and I can feel that He's stirring. He's preparing me for something. And I want to cooperate with God on it. I want Him to give me clear direction this morning. I want to see what that is. And I don't want to miss this moment of preparation. Would you lift your hand and say, "That's me today. Man, that's me. I can feel that. I can sense that in my soul. I can sense that in my spirit. There's a divine appointment out in front of me, and I don't want to miss it. There's a Kairos moment." Those of you that lifted your hands, in just a minute we're going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to come and find one of our prayer team, and we'll meet you here. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to agree. Did you see that human video these guys did? That's what that basically was. It feels like starting over. Feels like the beginning again. God wants to meet you in the beginning again. And when you come this morning, you lock in with one of our prayer team, and we're going to pray in faith that God is going to give you wisdom. He's going to give you clarity. He's going to give you discernment. And you're going to leave this place with greater trust in Him, greater faith in Him, that He's got this season designed and He's ready to meet you in it. Lord, this morning, as we surrender our life, as we surrender ourselves, God, I pray that You would speak this morning. I pray You would confirm in the uncertain heart. I pray You would put destiny inside our soul, and we would understand that You have a season in front of us that You're preparing us for now. If you lifted your hand now, as we begin to sing this song, I want you to step out wherever you are. We're going to stay with you in the balcony, hands there, down here, in the middle, in the side. Step out and let us pray for you as the worship team begins to sing.